Someone came up to me and said, do you want to be a model? And then I went in and they measured me in front of everyone. And they're like, you just need to lose 3 inches off your hips and then we'll accept you. So I left crying and was like, no, I'm not doing it. The scout called me up and was like, I think they're going to fire me. Please, 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 can you try it? You just don't have to eat bread for 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
I had to walk up and down a room every Saturday morning for 2 hours saying, I love myself in the mirror. It forces you to disconnect from yourself and your body. It's a really hard job to do. You've got to have a really strong, like, business mind about it. Modeling can be amazing if you suddenly understand what the job is. You have really clear expectations. I would ask yourself why you want to be a model. It doesn't actually matter how beautiful you are. Beauty is you being you, not you being a blank piece of paper for other people to project what they want onto you.
On today's podcast, I'm interviewing Leanne Maskell. She is a best-selling author for her book, The Model Manifesto. She's well known for exposing exploitation in the modeling industry. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. So let's get into it.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. So good to do this. So appreciate. So how did you get into modeling?
My mum got me into modeling. So I remember being like 10 years old and she sent a photo to a agency in England. And I was like, I don't want to do modeling. And she was like, oh, but you might have it. And then she sort of accepted you. And it was one of these like scam agencies where you had to pay £250 or something for a photo shoot. So I don't think we ever followed it up. And then we moved to Cyprus anyway.
Oh, wow.
And then when we were there, she was like, I've signed you up to a modeling agency. Oh, no, I don't want to do that because I was being bullied for being ugly. So I was like, I definitely do not want to like stand out more.
Was that in Cyprus? Or was that in England?
Yeah, in England, I was bullied like really badly for being tall and having yellow skin and like having a lisp and stuff. So I like really didn't want to stand out more, especially because we're in Cyprus. Yeah. And then what happened? And then my mom was like, oh, but you know, they've got you a job. She was like, just give it a go. Just try it out. And I was like, fine. And then I had this shoot in the forest and I was like,
this is your first shoot?
Yeah. Like,
how old were you?
13.
So you're 13 years old, you're in a forest. Is your mum there?
Yeah, she's there.
Okay.
And like, I was in this room, in this big house, and these two men were getting me changed. And I was like, wearing like a thong, and I was trying to cover up my body, and they were just like laughing. Like, they were like, burst out laughing, and they were like, we're gay. We don't care about your body.
Are you joking? Where was your, what? Okay, so just talk us through it. So where, so you go into this room, and your mum's not allowed there.
I don't know if she was allowed that. She was just outside chilling. Which is something I didn't even realize was weird until like I got interviewed about this, sort of writing the book for the Times. And then she was like, where was your mom? And I was like, she was there. And I was like, oh. But I think modeling is so weird at that age as well, because like the people, the professionals are kind of like, it's a weird vibe because you just think like, okay, they know what is normal.
Yeah.
I guess for both parents and children, they just assume that like, oh, okay, this must be like professional. And then I was having my photo taken like in the forest, just sitting there really awkwardly. And I was like, where are you going to put these photos? And they said, oh, we're going to put them in Vogue in England and ID magazine and, in Paris. They're like, cause it's a women's wear campaign. And I was like, oh, I've heard of that. And then I was in Vogue and that was like my first job.
No way.
Yeah. So it was pretty crazy because then the people that bullied me at school in England messaged me and were like, you look amazing.
Oh, now they want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Classic.
So then I guess I just carried on doing it from not really like intending to, but just it definitely wasn't something I particularly enjoyed, but it was more like, oh, okay, people are not bullying me for this. They seem to like me. So I just carried on doing it in Cyprus every month for like all of my teenage years, and had a variety of really messed up jobs, like really weird shoots for fashion magazines and like catwalks and stuff.
And this was with an agency in Cyprus. Okay.
Yeah.
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really messed. They have a lot of like kind of fashion, and there was no like 6 foot blonde teenagers there. So I got a lot of work and I was paid like €80 per job and didn't really get any of the money anyway, because it all went into like a bank account. I had to go to model school throughout my teenage. It was really depressing.
And this is in Cyprus.
Yeah.
What did they do at this model school?
I had to walk up and down a room every Saturday morning for 2 hours saying, I love myself in the mirror, which was really painful. And I would usually go out and get drunk the night before. And so I'd turn up like drunk or really hungover and just be like, oh, but there would be all of these other girls that had all like dressed up really like professionally and amazingly because they all like wanted to be a model with the agency. And I was like, I hate my life.
So 2 hours walking up and down a catwalk.
Yeah, it was like a mirrored room. So it was like catwalk training, basically.
And just saying, it's like a little army.
Like, yeah, it was really
it's
weird.
It's a cult.
Yeah, it's really weird and culty. It really doesn't have the intended effect.
But in a way, positive slightly. I love myself. So, you know, believe in yourself, but not.
Yeah, it was really weird. Right. Like, yeah, so modeling was not my favorite thing to do as a child. But it was just something that I carried on doing. And yeah. And then when I came to England, so I was 18, so I came here for university and I was in Westfield and I just had a job interview for like a clothes shop, like who had also scouted me and said, do you want to model here? And I was like, yeah, why do I want to be a model for Hollister?
Oh, cool.
And then I realized at the interview when they asked me like, what is your favorite color? It was like to work in the shop. And I left and someone came up to me and said, do you want to be a model? And I was like, no. And I was like, I've been a model. It's really boring. And she was like, I work for this agency and we'd love to have you, you know, come in and meet us. And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm not really doing that right now. I was studying at university. And she was like, please come, please come. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And she took my phone number and then called me up when I had gone home and said, please just come and meet us. And so I was like, fine, I'll go. And then I went in and they measured me in front of everyone. And they're like, you just need to lose 3 inches off your hips and then we'll accept you.
Oh my God. Like, that is, and you're 18.
Yeah. And I was like, also, you have invited me here. I didn't even want to do this job. And you've invited me here and told me that I have to lose weight. So I left crying and was like, no, I'm not doing it. And then the scout called me up and was like, I'm going to get fired if we don't do it. She said, because they have not accepted anyone that I've brought to them for the whole year. And I think they're going to fire me. So she was like, please, 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 can you try it? She was like, you just don't have to eat bread for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I felt bad for this random stranger. And then had 6 months of being like pressured to lose weight. So that is how I got into it here.
So you were 10 when your mum took a photo of you and, you know, sent it to the scammy agency. But I guess if you're tall and, you know,
I think it's something that a lot of parents think, especially now that we're like, it's something I'm really passionate about today because I had this really weird childhood growing up comparing myself to images of myself in magazines that were not real.
Yeah.
Like it had taken all of these hours of makeup and hair and lighting and then Photoshop. And it really affected my mental health. And like when I would have a photo shoot and get my hair and makeup done, I would literally go to sleep in it and like not take it off because I was like, now I look like pretty. And these kids are all now living in a world like that where they look at their phone and it tells them how they should look and they can change their appearance in a second. Yeah. Like you hear about all these poor little kids that have got skincare routines and spending all this money on like cleansers and anti-wrinkle preventative stuff, and their parents are also putting them on social media, which is really like tricky balance because like they're almost becoming models in a way without being paid for it or having a job, but like they're basically in a similar situation where they can compare themselves to themselves as kids, and I think it's really messed up. So I think a lot of the problems of the modeling industry are now being seen by everybody. Mm-hmm. Like it's like basically everyone now is a content creator or a model.
Yeah. I know. That must have been really hard for you then. So you're a young girl and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're seeing Leanne and then you're spending hours in hair and makeup and you're seeing grown woman just to deal with that in day-to-day life. And then just again, like you said, you go back and you look at yourself and then you look in the mirror and think, who is this person? Just these conflicting images. And then also people telling you to lose weight. You're this. It's really impossible to stay, you know, not affected by things like that.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't really realize that until I had turned like 22 or so.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize like how bad my own mental health was and body image and stuff. And I'm still the same now, actually. So now I'm 32. and I still like hardly look in the mirror and like don't really care about like fashion or anything like that. And my boyfriend got really into sewing and he was trying to like measure me and stuff. He made me a dress to go to a Taylor Swift concert, which is a really nice dress. But I was like, I don't want to get measured. He was like, oh, I'm doing really nice, thank you. And I was like, no, don't measure me. Like, yeah. Really don't care. Like, you know, just like the whole thing is really weird because PTSD. I think that modeling, it forces you to disconnect from yourself and your body because it becomes something for other people to control. Like, I remember being a teenager and saying once that, oh, I don't really like how you've made me look. And they were like, oh my God. They were like, you know, I think I said something like, I don't like this dress, and they all freaked out. And I was like, oh, okay, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
And then realized, like, as I got older, like, I don't have a say in this. Like, it's not something I'm allowed to have an opinion on.
Yeah.
So it got made up to look like, I remember a shoot when I was a teenager where they literally made me up to look like a prostitute. And made me hang inside like car windows and told me what to do, like grab different parts of my body. And this was for like a fashion magazine. And I was so young, I didn't even realize what the implications were. It was only when I got older and looked back at it and was like, oh my God, they literally made me up to kind of give that image of like a prostitute. And so, yeah, it's been a really, really messed up career. But nice now with you guys. I'm better.
Well, I mean, at body, it's, yeah, that's not something that we accept.
That's good.
And also in your book, you know, there's things about which happens across the board, people going to photographers' houses or flats, and like you said, about doing a shoot in their bedroom. This is not accepted in my agency, but you know, let's put yourself back in that, if you can, you know, back in that situation. Did you feel like you could say no?
No.
Yeah.
Like, no is not a word that models are allowed to say ever. And I think that is why, I can't remember the statistic. I think it was something like 60% of models start under the age of 16. I think it's why model agencies like having young girls and boys on their books, because they're literally groomed from childhood and taught, like, you can't say no.
Yeah.
Your opinion doesn't matter. Like, we know what's right. This is a normal behavior. You're the one that is wrong.
Yeah.
If you're feeling uncomfortable, and you're taught to like just literally mask that.
Yeah.
And like when I was 18 and started being sent to people's houses and stuff for photo shoots, I was just, I'm going to die. And they still have the same kind of like trauma, if you like. But like whenever I go into like a house, or if I'm around like a man by myself, I'm like, what? It's a camera. It's not like, you know, what's the escape route? Like, oh, because yeah, it's so deeply uncomfortable. But if adults are sending you to do that, you have no idea that it's wrong.
Well, I wanted to go on to that. How did you deal with that? And were you able to speak to your booker?
Sorry, I'm just laughing.
I know. I think I know the answer.
They were terrible. I literally didn't get paid for a year because I had no idea how to ask, like, how to get paid. One of the sheets I'd never really talked to. They would send me on sheets, and I had university at the time. So I had like lectures and stuff, and I said, oh, I need to go to my lecture. And the bookers were like, no, this is really important. You need to go. And I was like, okay, I'll go then. And so I basically missed all of university. And then when I was in these situations, I felt really uncomfortable, but also terrified to say anything. Because I was like, well, they've sent me here. Like, so they know what they're doing. And then, like, it was only through going to a lot of them that I realized, like, a lot of these men literally just emailed my agency and were like, we want to shoot with Leanne. Like, they didn't even know them. And it was one shoot that I had where, and these were not paid either.
So just a random person. Like, they didn't even vet them. That's appalling.
Yeah. Like, there was one that was really scary because he was trying to get me to drink a drink, like a tea. And I kept saying no, because of, I was like, I'm going to get spiked and murdered and raped. In general, that's my general like approach in these situations. Is, like,
I mean, it's a good approach to have because it will keep you safe, but still, it's not something that you should even be thinking.
Yeah.
No, because no.
As an 18-year-old. And he was like really pressurizing. And also often these photographers in general would be really pressurizing around like getting undressed and being like, oh, let's do a shoot like in underwear and stuff. And they'd be like, no. I'm studying law. I can't, actually. Which now I understand is very much from my own, like, neurodivergence, as I felt like, okay, because I'm studying law, I've got a reason to say no.
To say that, yeah.
But But this one was really, really pressurizing. I'm really pressurizing about the drink. So I like pretended to drink it and then called my agent in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then she came to meet me and I left and I was like, I've got to go, actually. I'll see you later. And then like ran out. But yeah, I had like, it was just so terrible. Cause I think also the thing is, as a model, you feel like you are being difficult or there's something wrong with you. You're not good enough.
It's your fault. It's not the client's fault.
Oh, I heard a terrible, one of the worst ones I heard was a girl was raped in this situation by a photographer. And when she told her agency, they said it was her fault.
Yeah.
Like, for leading her on.
Oh my God. That's that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It makes me so, 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 which is why I wrote that book, which is why I'm so, it makes me so angry to talk about this stuff because like, I was really lucky because I didn't want to really model in the first place. And, it was something I kept kind of getting conditioned into doing.
Yeah.
And I had other stuff going on, like I was studying law. So I was really lucky in a way that I could like control that situation. But a lot of girls have no, I met a girl who was only 14 when she started and she came from Brazil. And because I was on a catwalk show with her.
Yeah.
And I was writing the book and she said, oh, I really wanted to study law as well. And she said, but I didn't go to school. And I was like, oh, you didn't go to university. And she was like, no, I didn't go to school.
Oh my God.
And she had not gone to school. She got scouted from Brazil and sent to China where her passport was taken from her.
Mm.
She was kidnapped and kept in the flat for a week to make her lose weight because she put on weight. And then the only way she got out of China was an agency in Milan messaged her on Instagram and said, we want to pay for you to come here to Milan. And so it is just trafficking.
Yeah.
So awful. But like, we all just look at models and they're like, oh, wow, they're so beautiful and amazing. And look at them. And like, no, like what is underlying it is just trafficking of girls.
That whole side of the industry, I think, is a whole nother podcast because we have so many stories on that and Asia and all of that. I mean, that it's rife over there and you're not allowed to, if you put on a centimeter, you don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave before the end of your contract, you don't get paid. Having to leave the airport with bags of cash, they could take your money away from you. So you've been locked up, like you say, for 3 months and you don't make any money.
Yeah.
And you just feel like what a horrible, words can't even express how that is. And you think you're doing a job.
Yeah.
Being trafficked.
I had an agency in America. Like a really top agency and they got my visa for me very easily. So I had like an O-1 American special visa, which I hardly even did anything for. And they were saying to me to go over and live in New York for a year. And I was about to, because New York is very like, oh, it's top fashion modeling.
Yeah.
And then luckily the model agent kind of let slip to me that I wouldn't make any money for the first year. And I was like,
right.
Well, then how would I survive that for a year if I'm not going to make any money? And how can you know that? And she said, it just takes a year to break into the industry in New York. And I was like, well, how would I live then? She said, oh, we'll give you pocket money, which again is debt. Like they're just getting girls into debt. So you can't leave and you can't say no to anything. Then it's literally like debt bondage trafficking.
Yeah.
So I was like, why would I come? I was like, I'm not going to come to a country where you're telling me I'm literally not going to make any money. So.
She said that to the wrong girl.
I was like, no, I'm good. But yeah. But it meant that I'd wasted my, visa, which whatever I'd spent like £1,500 on.
Mm.
But then I found out that that agency were really closely related with Jeffrey Epstein. And then also because I worked in immigration law afterwards and I talked to an immigration lawyer in America and I said, oh, I've got an O-1. And he said, you must be a model then. And he was like, it's only that models that can get O-1 so easily. Mm. And I was like, it's so corrupt is so
messed
up. And actually the first agency that kind of I worked with in London, they told me that they had set up because they were part of a very big famous agency in France and they were prostituting up models there to like the senior officials in France. And I was like,
they told you that?
Yeah, they told me that. And I was like, then why did you just set up another eight? Why didn't you go to like the police? And now we see all this stuff about the model agents and his last name.
Oh, the elite guy.
Yeah. So it's really messed up. And I think,
So they told you that. So the agency in London, so they set up in Paris and then they go, okay, we're doing so well.
They were part of an agency in Paris that were doing that, which maybe you can guess which one.
Yeah.
And then they said, we didn't like that behavior, so we set up our own one, which is lovely. But also, maybe you should do something about that behavior that's happening in Paris.
100%.
And also not just pick...
And maybe not publicize that. Maybe just like, let's just sort that out. What?
Yeah. And that's what is so bad about this stuff is like, it's not just people like Jeffrey Epstein. It's all of the people that collude with it and get girls into debt and boys into debt and traffic them across countries. And I know what's happening, but they don't say anything about it or do anything about it. And it makes me very angry. So
I know. Yeah. So let's talk about, just going back slightly on what we're talking about, when you're in situations and you feel that you can't, you know, speak to your booker. Now, this is something that we don't do at Body because it is utterly appalling. And I think for so many models, you might be put in situations or you don't want to do the job or things are uncomfortable. But if you say the wrong thing to your booker or if they don't like you, they hold all this control and power and they just won't book you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened to me. So I did modeling here for a long time. And then I basically ended up being pushed into doing maternity modeling. So I had to like strap on a fake baby. And then I went over to Australia and there I did like a lot of different, not maternity modeling. And I realized like how much my own mental health had been really affected by having to do that because I felt awful, both for myself and feeling like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm not thin enough. And like my sister was pregnant and she was really furious to find out that like,
me, yeah.
So when I came back, I said to my agency for like literally the first time ever, I was like, hello guys. I was like, I don't want to do maternity modeling. I was like, do not book me on any jobs with maternity modeling.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, fine. I was like, look at me. I set a boundary. And then I had a job booked and there was like 100 outfits and 10 of them were maternity. And I said to them, oh, I've actually said I'm not doing maternity anymore. And they were like, no, no, you have to do it. And I was like, no, I'm not. No.
Is this the client or your booker? Okay.
The client was like, no way. They were like, you have to do it. You can't, like, they literally started shouting at me and they were like, you're being really ridiculous. Like, you have to do these outfits. There was 10 out of 100. They were in a whole factory of clothes. And I was like, no, sorry, I've told my agency. So it's my agency's fault. And then they called my agency and my booker was on the phone being like, just do it. What's your problem? They're going to cut you off at the chin anyway. Like, you know, you can't even see it. She was like, just do it. And then in the future, you have to do it again. And I was like, no. And I was like, I've said that. I was like, this is my boundary. And it's not because of how it looks. It's because of like my own mental health.
But you're making, you know, you laugh through it, but it's not funny.
Yeah.
In the slightest, they've not listened to you and they haven't even, they don't understand how it's affected you. So the fact that they've not listened to you, they've booked you and shoved you on that job. The client shouted at you. Your safe place should be calling your agency. Instead, they've thrown that back in your face.
Yeah.
How did you then feel and what happened subsequently?
I actually felt really good because I was like, I know that black and white, I had said to you, I'm not doing this. And I've checked every job you've sent me and I said, is it maternity? And I said, no. So I was like, I know that I've actually said this. I know that I'm not going crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's not my fault. And I know that like, they shouldn't be shouting at me. You shouldn't be shouting at me. And that was a mark also of my own like growth and maternity because I think I've written maturity. Because I'd written...
It's so ingrained in you, maternity.
Well, yeah, that it was at that point that I had largely written this book, The Model Manifesto, as well. So I was way more like, nope, I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And they said, well, they're going to take you off the job then. And I was like, that's fine. I didn't care. And again, and so I just left because they were like, fine, we're taking you off. And I was like, all good, bye. And it was actually really good for me again to realize like, the slightest no is like, well, then you're out. Again, for me to see it wasn't just in my head. It wasn't just being dramatic.
Yeah.
And then I talked to one of my agents that I really liked a lot about it. And I said, you know, it's made me feel uncomfortable. And she was like, yeah, you should. The agents here that are responsible for those clients, they said they're not going to book you anymore. Because you're
not on anything.
And I was like, yeah, no. So then I left and I went to another agency that marketed themselves as a really like ethical agency. And I was like, this is really good. They're going to be great. And
what were some of their ethics? Sorry to interrupt. What were some of their...
Well, I don't know how much I can say about it because they forced me to sign a non-disclosure agreement by sending me legal threats every day for a month. But I think if you Google ethical modeling agency, it will come up.
Well, that speaks volumes.
Yeah. When I was only with them for like 2 weeks because they basically kept getting me into debt. So a huge thing about modeling is that it's the only industry that I've seen where you sign a contract where the model agency has got your power of attorney to sign you into contracts, but you still have the legal responsibility to do that. So, for example, I was signed into doing a job in Paris that was a lingerie show by one agency, and it was for like £100. And a therapist at the time said, this is a really bad idea for your mental health. She was like, don't do lingerie. But I had like no work at the time. She was like, don't do it. And it was like a month away. So I said to the agency, actually, I've decided I probably shouldn't do this. And they were like, no. And they're like, you know, you have to do it. They're like, if you don't want to do it, then you've got to pay for the train ticket, which is £300. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it then. So I just did it.
So the train was £300. The job's £100. Yeah. So how did that make any sense?
Exactly.
To even do the job?
Exactly.
I would never book anyone on anything.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Just...
Because the client was paying for the train. So they're like, cool, if you want to cancel them, you have to pay their costs. But like that agency had booked me into that job. Yeah. So legally, if it had gone to court, if any model agency contract ever gets to court, the court would just laugh it out. Because it's ridiculous. It's literally like a slave labor contract. Yeah. And I've had lawyers message me and say, like, my daughter's been scouted and they've sent this contract through this, like, you know, really official model agency accredited whatever body, but they're like, but it's a slave labor contract, so I can't understand how this is being used. And I was like, yeah, that is just the contract. So when I was like really young and a teenager, an agency was booking me like hair appointments at Harrods and trying to get me to buy clothes and stuff. My dad was like, how much are they charging you? And I said, oh, I think it's free. I was like, you know, they've booked it. I think it's free. Yeah. And he was like, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, I really don't want to ask them. And he was like, no, ask them. And then they said, oh, it's £400, but we'll put it on your account. And I was like, I don't know what an account is. And they said, oh, you'll pay us back in the future when you get money. And I was like, okay, all right then. And my dad was like, do not let them do that. He said that, he was like, never get into debt. He was like, don't let them do that. He said, I will help you if you need it now, but like, do not let them do it. And to their credit, they were like, fine, your dad can move. And then they were like, fine, we're gonna have to go to Topshop instead of Chanel for you to afford it, but fine. And all of the agencies that I joined, every time I joined them, I said, never ever use my account, and never want you to get me into debt, because it's something that they do quite often.
Well, every agency apart from body, that's how a lot of them make their money, from overcharging on accommodation to books, cards, this, that. It happened to me as well when I was modeling, and it's unacceptable to not sign up for something, to not know. Mm-hmm. And then this sneaky smoke and mirrors and like, oh, it's, you know, you're in debt. But I didn't sign up to be in debt. I'm working really hard.
Mm-hmm. So the American agency that I mentioned earlier, when I was leaving this ethical agency, I said to them, like, you know, I just want to make sure that you've not spent anything in my name. And they said, oh, actually, you have been paying $250 a month to be on their website for the last 6 months. And I was like, I have not agreed. And I said, fine, take me off your website. And then they were like, no, we can't do that because you're a model in the agency. And I was like, no, I'm not even in America.
Yeah,
I'm not working there. Take me off your website. I don't care. I'm not paying you $250 a month when you have not even told me this.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult because it is just, it's just debt bondage. Yeah. And this like ethical agency is the only agency I've ever worked with that refused to not get me into debt. So like, as usual, I said, basically never spend money in my name. And then they just kept trying like different angles. Like they booked me a casting in Paris and they booked me a hair appointment that they said was free. But then when I turned up, they were like, oh, actually it's £200. They booked me a video shoot that they were like, is really important that I do. And they were like, and it's so, so important. It's £400. And I was like, I really don't understand why they're trying to get me in debt.
Yeah.
And I was like, why they're not just booking me on jobs? Because I had my clients that were trying to book me and they wouldn't respond to them. And I understood that it was because they basically needed me to be in debt to pay me for the money, because of the business model that they're in. And then
so that's why they were so desperate to.
Yeah.
I see.
So
that is so messed up.
It is. One of the worst things that has ever happened to me, because I was also writing my book at the time. So I was like, oh my God, what the? And I talked to them about it because I was like, oh, they're really amazing. And I said, like, no, what is this? And they were like, They're like, it's not debt, babe. They're like, it's investment in your career. And it's like, it's not investment. I'm literally writing a book about this right now. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave. And I was like, my mental health cannot cope with this. I had no money as well at the time because I'd like left all these jobs. And I was like, I'm standing up for my rights. And I was like, oh, I can't pay my rent.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, you can leave if you sign this contract that basically is a non-disclosure agreement, and said that I would also kind of could basically have to pay the money for one job that I did. But it was quite open legally forever. And I was like, no, I don't have to sign your contract to leave, because they had cut a year long period in the contract. So I was like, what are you going to do? Force me to do modeling for a year?
Yeah.
And they then, well, I talked to a lawyer. He said, just ignore it. He was like, what are they going to do? So I just ignored it. And then they were like, no, you can't ignore it. And they just sent me lawyer's letters every day for a month. And I called up all of these different beautiful, bodies that are meant to accredit modeling agencies, many of who had helped me with the book, and like nothing happened. And the government, and complained about them to the police. And they were like, yeah, what they're doing is legal, but it's not enough people they're complaining about them to. So in the end, I just signed it. But I was so furious, and the unions and stuff, and they just did nothing.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, all I can do is make this book as good as it can possibly be, so that other people don't end up in this situation. But that was really, really, really bad. That was like, it just kind of made it all really real for me, because I've been really lucky throughout my career to not be in those situations, because I was able to kind of set boundaries and advance. But for a lot of people, like especially with that agency, they.
But you're strong. You know, you may not have felt strong, but you had support, and you were able to think, hang on a minute, this isn't right. But just think of all the thousands of other girls around the world and with that agency that are trapped.
Yeah. And that's why I did it. And that's why it was so difficult, because I wouldn't have really said anything about them personally, like anyway, because I'd done law, so I didn't want to get sued. But it was that like persistent sending me legal letters. And I was like, what on earth is going on? Because obviously they're worried I'm like going to talk about them in the book and stuff. But I was like, oh my God, this is literally. And then fortunately or unfortunately for me, they basically told everyone that I worked with that I couldn't work with them anymore because I was under contract. So from what I can understand anyway, of what I was told from clients. So it was very ironic, because it kind of forced me to quit modeling and get a job in law, which is actually really helpful. And it was also really helpful for me, because I just, it kind of made me be like, fuck all of this. And so, I just started kind of doing, there's a photographer called Rankin who had emailed and was like, hello, would you like to shoot the cover of my book? And they were like, yes. Yes, we'll shoot the cover of your book.
I didn't know Rankin shot it. I love Rankin.
Yes. Like, wicked. I just started being like, do you know what? I don't care about this industry anymore. I'm just going to like set it all on fire, set up the bridges and burn them. And now I'm on so after I published this book, The Model Manifesto, the government actually set up a working group tackling exploitation in the creative industries. Yeah. So I'm on that with Rebecca Ferguson, singer, and Katie Wassell. And it's called Bullying, Harassment, and Discrimination, like tackling this. And I told them about that experience in the first meeting at the end, because they're also like, they've got all these like fancy industry bodies there talking about how they've got phone lines and, you know, they really, really want to stop.
Oh, the model industry. Yeah.
And then at the end, I told them that story that I just told you. And I was like crying. And I was like, because we're not talking about bullying and harassment and discrimination. We're talking about trafficking and rape and debt bondage. And like, that is the reality of what you're talking about. It's not like something you can just call up a helpline about. And if your agency on the end of the phone is like, oh no, sorry to hear that you are, you know, stranded in this country and you're stuck in a house that you can't leave because they've taken your passport.
And they put you in that position in the first place.
Yeah, they've sold
you. And you call them and they don't want to hear.
Yeah, so
it's appalling.
That would be why people can't say no, because they're trapped.
I mean, it was amazing when we actually signed you after so many years of you coming out of the industry. And, you know, not surprisingly, your barriers were up, of course. And I think that was everything to me. I don't know if you know that, but because of like how I am and what emotional, like what I stand for, I think getting you on board was so special, because it really, you know, God, I can't speak. Anyway, moving on. Oh, too much. Now I know. It really did. And I know we had so many conversations and we really took your guidance on board and we set up model management to really make a stand in the industry so that people like you, or models, when you're not modeling anymore, you're onto amazing things now, which we'll come to, but to really support the models and have people trained in mental health to deal with these young, vulnerable girls and to never talk about weight, to never measure them and to be there for you and just to do everything that as a mom of two young girls, I would expect them to be treated. You know, it just, and also, like we said earlier, we were talking about two sides to every story. I think the reason why we're different at Body, because I went through that as well. And I think I will always tell my team there are two sides to every story. And I'm always more on the side of the model because I've had it so many times when clients will call up and say one thing when actually it happened to me. I was there doing absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So that I think is kind of integral. But no, I don't think I've ever told you that.
Oh, thank you. So, it means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it means a lot to have even found you because, yeah, like when I left and when I wrote that book, yeah. Literally everyone in my life was like, why are you writing that book? No one cares about models. Everyone is jealous of them. But to be honest, I have become so suicidal that I was just like, okay, I'm just going to write this book and then die. So I was like, there's an offering to the world and then I can die. Because I felt really bad about being like suicidal. So I was like, I think I was like 24.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm a like perfectly healthy young girl. And like, you know, I can do all this stuff. But I think the industry have made me feel, the industry and the world in general have made me feel like, you know, so broken.
Yeah.
And like, as though I was the problem. And I think writing that book was really cathartic because it made me realize like, first of all, it's not just me. It's all models. And gave me someone else to fight for. It's always easier when it's not you.
Yeah.
And then, like, helped me to see that it wasn't me or them. It was the industry.
Yeah.
And give me a reason to fight for it. And so I wasn't really publishing it for, like, to be in the shop or anything. But I was like, hopefully it can help just one other person. And then it was, like, on the cover of the Times and on the read and stuff. And like, oh. And I had just started my law job as well. And I was like,
oh no.
I really want to be in my law job and I don't do model. Oh, God, I remember a conversation with my manager where I literally begged her not to fire me because I was like, I really don't want to go back to modeling. And she was like, there's loads of things you can do, not just modeling. And I was like, no, there's not.
So they wanted to get rid of you because they couldn't deal with the.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
No, they were actually really, really supportive.
That's good.
No, really, which again was, I think I had like really bad PTSD when I started that law job. I moved over the road because I was like, I'm not quitting this job. I was like, I'm staying in this job. So I was living on Chancery Lane. And I, like, basically every day I would just go in and be like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, I used to go in offices like this and just be told by people sitting at desks to get changed, like, in front of them and all the people. And I would do it. And I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was so weird to go in an office and be like, wow, no one here cares about what I look like. Especially because every time I'd walked into an office, I'd always been so conscious about like how I looked
being
and like
judged.
Weight and judgment. Yeah. Cause if I'd go to see the agency, it was like, oh, like God, I went to see one of my agencies in Australia once, just like on an odd, like a random visit. And they were like, we're just going to measure you. And I'm like, you have put on 3 inches on your waist. And they're like, we're going to take you off the job that you've booked on. They're like, cause you're overweight. And I was like, oh, I'm not overweight. You just haven't measured me all year. And then like the client. God. Was like, I can't believe that they have called us up and said that you're overweight. So they were like, when they said that, they said, we were really happy because we thought you were too thin.
Yeah.
And they were like, but you're still too thin.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was really weird. And then to be in like situations with a manager honestly gave me panic attacks because I was like, oh my God, they're going to tell me off. I've done something wrong. Like, I don't know what I've done wrong. And I was kind of like an animal that like abused like a dog and then put into a situation where everyone around you is like, we don't fire people for like, you know, putting the wrong thing on the end of an email and I was like, I must be doing things at all times because of like, especially in modeling as well, like, you know, you're constantly under watch. Like if I was in a photo shoot and on my phone, that's like time. And if there's bad feedback given to my agency, like you said, I then wouldn't get booked for any more jobs. So yeah, it was a really interesting transition.
I just don't think anyone has, well, not anyone. I think so many people, they see modeling as this glamour, amazing you know, life, which it can be with the opportunities it gives you. But I think so much of the industry is so damaging and so shocking and so unacceptable. And it doesn't matter what your weight is.
Yeah,
it does not matter. If you gain weight, perfect. If you lose weight, well, why are we losing weight? You know, but it just doesn't matter. And I think that is, no one should ever go through that. That is not going to make someone happy.
Yeah. Well, that's why joining your agency did mean so much to me, because I was like, supermodeling, my lawyer, I have my Disney happy ending. And then a couple of years later, I ended up, I did a Guardian podcast about the exploitation of models. And then your partner messaged me and said, can you come and consult for us about how we can treat our models better? And I was like, yes, if you're paying. And you're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And it was actually really amazing to hear that an agency even cared about the models enough to talk to me. Because I think especially after that book came out, like one top model agent that has helped me with the book wrote like a 1-star review on it, being like, this is victim tripe.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking. But and that was terrifying.
But then sums everything up.
Yeah, I was like, it sums everything up.
Yeah.
And then to go and meet you guys and to see what you're doing and how you'd split it up so that like the models almost had like HR people that were not involved in booking their jobs, and how you do it, measure them, maybe be like, oh my God. And also how it's so like data driven. It was like, okay, so we can see the problem, and we can, you know, if you're going to take on a model, you're going to go out to the clients and get feedback on them rather than just you being like, no, you're fat, go home. Which I was like, oh, this is how a model agency should run. So then when I left my law job, I was like, actually, I would join your agency because I was just starting a business of my own, like being an ADHD coach. And I knew that modeling could be really useful to have like on the side. And I was so, so fortunate because, again, I wouldn't have been able to do it without that. And actually, it helped me to leave a really abusive relationship with them as well, because we were really fortunate because I had Next book me basically every week for like 6 months and pay me a lot of money to go and wear photos with nice people and do a
blind
shoot. And it was like having an office, like team.
Yeah.
And like, it got me out of my house with my really abusive boyfriend and able to get away from it and have a different perspective. It gave me money so that I didn't have to like take on jobs that I didn't want to do with the business. It helped me to get like stable and set up. And so it was so, so fundamental. So modeling can be amazing if you have got like nice people.
Yeah.
You're not trafficking people. If you fully understand what the job is and what you're expected to do. And also, I think really importantly, like you have really clear expectations, because it's really hard to get jobs. And I think a lot of people out there think, oh, if I can only join a modeling agency, then I'll
or
be
a big name. They're going to be the best, you know.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said, it was always, I hated models coming in and not knowing where they're going. And exactly like you said, you would walk into your agency and just feel judged. And eyes are looking at you, and not in a nice way. Whereas that just irked me, having young kids, I thought. And also for myself, I thought, I want to go somewhere and feel welcome. You don't want to go somewhere and feel judged. So setting up our model management team, just, you know, and having you help and consult on that was so special, because we really created such a special business model. And also, like you said, the statistics, it's not having young kids going, oh, exactly like you said, cut your hair, you're fat. I mean, absolutely not. If anyone dared say that, they would be out the door in a second. But looking at the data, okay, is your book performing? No, it's not. What can we do? How are we talking to people at a casting? How are you behaving on a job? Are you saying goodbye when you leave? Or, you know, all of these little things are so fundamental. But also, asking the model, do you want to do this job? Do you feel comfortable? You know, I remember there was one job I booked you on. Do you remember the bridal job when we were speaking? I said, you know, making sure that you've got
no toilet.
There was no toilet there. And I was like, yeah, I really don't want you to do this, because the client's just called. And you were like, no, it's okay. She was so lovely.
She was really lovely.
And it turned out to be an amazing shoot.
So obviously then you sign with us and we're booking you on nice jobs and jobs that you want to do. And, you know, we're checking all the information and clients are treating you well. And it's really something that you should have had from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
but you lacked. And And we had this bridal shoot that I booked you on. And I remember speaking to the client, lovely woman, beautiful brand. And she was saying, I was saying, you know, where's the shoe? She said, it's in this amazing 16th century church, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, great. So there's going to be toilets there. There's food. No. Okay. Well, I need to speak to Leanne because this is slightly an issue. So I spoke to you and I said, look, I don't really think we should be doing this job. And you said, look, it's okay. I'm going to do it. And I was like, Leanne, okay, you don't need to say yes. But it turned out well. But I think that's because I really went into the detail and I really let the client know. I said, at any point, if she's not happy.
She was terrified of me.
Was she?
She's like, your agent is so intense. And I was like, yeah. It's like, yeah, that's why I've joined them.
Good. That's my job. Like, yeah. I'm going to have, you know. Oh, I love that she said that.
Yeah. But I think also something that's really important to say is like the difference between an agent is really important, like a good agent. Because when I first kind of quit my law job, I went with an old agent who had set up a model agency, like a really small one, like she'd set up her own. And she had booked me on jobs all the time, like really good e-com jobs and stuff before. And I really liked her. So I joined her and she didn't get me any jobs. She got me a couple of castings and she didn't get me any jobs in like 2 months. And she was saying like, oh, she was like, I don't know what is going on. She was like, you know, you're just not getting very good like feedback on you.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, maybe I'm like old. I think I was 29. I was like, maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm like, you know, maybe I'm the problem, or I was like, maybe something like that. And then I think I met Marcus, and then I was like, I might as well join you guys and see, because Marcus seemed pretty nice. And then you literally, from the second I joined you, you were getting me jobs like nonstop, like that were paying really, really well, like so many jobs.
Too many.
I was like, a model more in this month than I did like previously as a model when I was doing it full time.
Yeah.
And paying me like, you know, literally within weeks.
Yeah.
And that was just unheard of for me as a model in my like 13-year career. And I think that is the difference of having an agency that is good. And not, yeah, I'm saying not just good in terms of like, oh, we're giving you jobs that you actually want to do, but
yeah,
in actually getting you the jobs. And that's what I really, like, I was really fortunate to have Marcus help me a lot with setting up my business now at ADHD Works. And I've mirrored a lot of what you have done.
Really?
So like we've got coaches that work in the industry and in my company now, and yeah, it's been really good because I've split up, so like I supervise them on the coaching skills and stuff,
yeah,
and then I've got an employee that kind of meets with them about their clients and progress, because I could understand that actually if they had a problem they might not want to bring it to me,
yeah,
because if I was like in charge of their clients. And
schedule,
then
yeah,
again, like what you guys do, which I think is really good, you look at the different data. So that's what we've really mirrored, where we're like, okay, we want like these different points, which are like the number of people that are looking for a coach with like that kind of expertise, like ADHD and autism or ADHD in the workplace. And then we look at the amount of times that we send out like a link for them to book in. And then we look at the amount of times that they go ahead with that coach, and then we look at like the conversion rates, like later, like how happy they are, which is, yeah, what I think you guys do similar, yeah, of the castings. Because when Marcus showed me that, yeah, I was like, that's exactly how it should be, because then you can see the point at which there is a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't know that, then like, you know, for example with models, like if there's a point at any of those stages, you just assume you are the problem.
Yeah, but like you said, you're the problem. Or for the agent that you joined briefly who said the feedback's not good.
Like,
that comment is utterly unacceptable and appalling. How is that? And I love it that you then join with me. And it's like, I mean, I couldn't have enough Leanne's, to be honest. I wanted to multiply you. It was amazing. Let's maybe go on to the positive briefly. You must have had some positive experiences and amazing brands that you worked for. Tell us about some good things.
Oh, I've had some amazing experiences. Like, I actually just wrote a book about my kind of life, and like just reflecting on the modeling stuff, like it's just once in a lifetime experiences. I went to the Maldives for a week and modeled wedding dresses, which was like better than any wedding I'll probably ever have in my life. Like, and that was a really funny one because I went to the casting, you don't have to pay me, please take me to the Maldives, I come for free. And the stylist was like, I don't think you meant to say that. But then she took me and they did pay me. Amazing.
Good.
And it was honestly like the most incredible week. Well, like there's a pool outside my little house and they're all really nice. And I had some amazing jobs, like working with some amazing, especially in Australia, where it was just like, I remember when I was actually really suicidal and I had a job, which was like shooting on this little island in the middle of the ocean. And it was just sort of the nicest group of people and wearing incredibly beautiful clothes. And like, I looked like me, like I wasn't like painted white. And yeah, and it just was like a really big moment for me to realize like, oh, actually, like, this is a really good job. Like, I'm really lucky and not feeling awful. Because I think the thing about modeling is you can feel really bad all the time because you are being held up as like a standard for other people to aspire to. So like when I've done jobs where they'll clip, which is most e-com jobs, they'll clip back the clothes on the shoot. So it's really bad because I'm like, people are going to look at this and think, why don't I look like that? But actually, like, this dress.
Turn around. Back, yeah.
But that was a really nice one. So when I think it's more about the brands and the people you work with rather than the, like, you know, being in the Maldives, like, although that was really good. But a best friend of mine in Australia, Gabby, she is a photographer. And we went to New Zealand and did a road trip. And we had kind of like collected all these different brands that wanted pictures being shot. And we did that going around New Zealand, which was, again,
that's
like
so cool.
Just so incredible. And it was actually really interesting for me because I was kind of more involved in a creative process. I had a great job where, I don't know if it counts as modeling, but I had to host GQ Awards.
Oh, wow.
I was like one of many models where you're like hosting the GQ Awards. We met loads of celebrities. And then one of them came up to me at the after party and was like, it was the old man. He was like, do you want to come to our table? And I was like, I'm not going to have sex with you, but I want to. And he just burst out laughing. I was like, yeah, it's okay, you can come.
Oh, I love.
And then I ended up going to like McDonald's with Rita Ora and Cara Delevingne and Ellie Goulding and being like,
did you?
Whoa! And being like chased by paparazzi and stuff. Yeah, it was very.
Wow, what was that like?
It was very exciting, but I was just trying not to say anything because I was like, I'm going to make a fool of myself. And they were very nice.
What were they all like? What's Rita like? Is she cool?
They were just, I just remember them being very, very nice.
Yeah.
And also how crazy it was because like we got in the car and there were just like photographers everywhere and then driving and then they were all chasing the car and there were like 8 motorbikes chasing it. And then we sat in there and I was like, what do you like? What don't? And I was like, I'll go in because I'm not famous. And then I got out of the car and all the photographers were like, oh, we knew they'd send you. And I was like, I'm here. I'm ready for my close up. But they sadly did not want to be best friends. I didn't hear from them again after that night. But it was a really, really, again, just random. Like, they dropped me off at my boyfriend's house and I called him up being like, open the door, look outside. And he was like,
oh my God, they dropped you off there. No way.
Best friends. But yeah, they sadly don't want to be best friends, but I'm here if they want to.
But you had an amazing night.
Yeah, they were super, super nice. So yeah, you can meet some really cool people. What else have we done? Like a lot of, well, I don't know if you'd say they're cool, but a lot of really interesting catwalk shows, like wearing insane clothes. Yeah, there's a show on Netflix about this girl that is autistic and she becomes like a model. She gets like scouted and she's walking down the catwalk and she kind of like clicks into this like hyper-focus moment and she's really amazing at it. And I was like, oh, that's like what it was like to me when I'd walk down a catwalk. Like the rest of it was all really stressful. And then like walking down that catwalk was really like relaxing in a way. Cause I was like, oh, my brain can like relax. All I have to do is just like walk down and walk back and look at the camera. And then you get it back off. And then it's like chaos.
Yeah.
But it's quite relaxing for those few seconds.
Yeah.
You walk down the catwalk. Yeah, I've been really, really fortunate to have a lot of really amazing experiences. And that's why like modeling is, and God, I remember working for ASOS actually, and that was probably my best day of my life because I really wanted to model for ASOS because I loved it growing up. And when I got when I basically started working there, I was so excited. It was quite sad. Like how excited.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's sweet. What prompted you to move to Australia?
What prompted me? So I finished university at 21, had no idea what to do with my life, like in terms of getting a job. Everyone else at my age was like, had jobs and they were like moving into their like real life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to travel and have fun before getting an office job and like settling down forever. And I just saw a photo of Australia. And again, now I know that it's because I have ADHD that I'm highly impulsive, but I was like, I'm going to go there and booked a flight.
Yeah.
And I thought that in Australia, from what I'd heard from people, like models in particular, they were nice to models, which is a key point to me because I knew that countries like France and Italy, they took a huge, something like between 50 to 75% commission is taken by the model agencies there, and you have to lose loads of weight. So I was like, not going there. America, again, was a bit more of a like complicated one. So I was like, cool, Australia seems good, seems warm. So I just booked a flight there and went there, and it was amazing. It was, yeah, I would say actually Australia as a whole. And that's the thing about modeling as well, is like, it's amazing and it's difficult because you can literally go to any country in the world and just start working. So I went to New Zealand and Bali and went all over the world and was just like, cool, just find an agency and start working, which is a cool thing to be able to do. But it's a difficult thing because it did make me really, really lost at that age. Like I was like, I have no idea
the next step
or what to do and like where I belong. But yeah, but I had a lot of really cool, lucky experiences.
But I guess that experience in Oz with the agency must have put a very sour taste in your mouth, because you thought potentially you found this country and these super friendly people. And then that happens. Did that really?
That was actually a really key point for me. So I moved to Sydney and I got this agency, like one of the top agencies. They got me like the top. I was shot for a brand called It's Now Cool, which again, I didn't really realize, and like Zulu and Zappa, which because I was from England, I didn't realize like these were like the top brands. And I was like doing like the top campaigns and I was like, oh, that's a nice brand. I'm like, oh, I'm on the billboard. But everyone was just so nice and so accepting. And I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like, and I wasn't measured or told to lose weight. I was like,
finally.
No maternity. I was like, I'm in the Holy Grail. But the difficult thing was like, then I had a visa. Like, you can't stay there for longer than a year without going to work on a farm. And that's what kind of made me really suicidal. I was like, I'm so happy here and it's going to be over. And like, and then I ended up going to Bali. And then I came back and then I moved to Byron Bay, like this little hippie town, really spontaneously with a guy I literally met on the beach after doing a photo shoot. And he was like, do you want to come surfing? Yes, I'll move in your house. And when I moved to Byron Bay, I didn't think that there would be any modeling there. Like, I was fully resigned to like go work in a I actually did get a job like in a shop and did marketing and stuff. But there were actually a lot of brands there, a lot of really incredible, incredible brands, including the brand I shot for that I just told you about on that little island.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was so random, like the woman drove past me on the street and she was like, what are you doing here? Do you want to come to a launch tonight? It's like about you.
No way.
And so I went to a party like
about you. No way.
And I had a huge panic attack and freaked out. And I was like, everyone here must be thinking that I don't look like that picture. I went home having a So it was so interesting. But my agency at the time, they were like, cool, we can get you jobs still. You can fly to Sydney. And then I joined one in Brisbane and Melbourne. So I had like agencies. But it was actually amazing for me because it gave me a bit of control over my own career. So I could be a bit more like, actually, I'm not going to go to Brisbane, like, which was 2 hours drive away for a job that was like £100. And people were starting to ask me to do jobs. And then that job in particular, I said that they said that I was like overweight for. When I went and did that job, it kind of like was a bit of a light bulb moment, because I realized like, oh, it doesn't matter how nice anyone is. And I think that's a difficult thing about running an agency. Like yourself, like you're going to hire people at some point. You can't control everyone. Like, and that's why I don't like to talk badly about like agencies or clients in particular, because it's always like one person or situation. Like, you guys are never going to be perfect because you're working in an industry.
Nobody's perfect.
Where you're literally sending girls out to have their photograph taken and to be looked at. And nobody is perfect. So it kind of made me realize like, oh, this agency are not a fairy tale agent. Actually, not really. Bloody mean, this woman. So then, but the amazing thing was on the photo shoot, I had a makeup artist and she was like, she said, oh, I'm an author. I've like published a top book. And I was like, really? And I had thought of doing a blog post about modeling. And then she said, yeah. And she was like, I did it based on like how to lose weight from working with loads of models and stuff. And I was like, oh. And she was
don't like the sound of that.
I think she was like a size 18 or something and dropped like 5 dress sizes. So it was called The Little Book of Big Weight Loss. And she said, yeah, and it became like a top bestseller here in Australia. And she was like, and I just self-published it. And she was like, and all of these big publishers all over the world just messaged me asking to take it on. And she was like, and all I did was Google the top publisher and went with Harry Potter's publisher. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And then I went back in the airport and I saw her book in the airport and I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to write my book as a book. And I was like, And so I just decided at that point to like publish my own book and to not worry about like that modeling agent, like upsetting people anymore. I was just like, cool, if that woman has done it, like there's no reason why I can't. She was just like a normal person. I was like, cool, I'm going to publish like this book then, which was something that just had seemed so opposite to what I was used to. But
yeah,
so it was a big moment. So it was good. It was a hard but good moment, like growth.
One thing I want to ask, what advice would you give to anyone listening who wants to be a model?
I would ask yourself why you want to be a model. Like, you know, I think whenever I hear people say I want to be a model, I'm like, for what reason? Like, because very often it is because we get something in our head of like, that means that I'm pretty, or that means that I'm accepted, or I can prove to all the people that bullied me that I am, you know, not ugly, whatever, looking for some kind of validation or acceptance.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to like try and take a step back from it and to realize that even if you get accepted by an agency, like you might not get any work, and then you're going to get called like ugly the rest of your life. Or you're going to be made to feel that way because...
Not then, a body.
Well, you're still going to go on castings and you're not going to get all the jobs you're going to go for. Like, you know, it doesn't end. Like, getting an agency doesn't mean that suddenly you're like, oh, now I'm pretty. It just gets more and more. And so you've got to have a really, really strong, like, business mind about it. It's like playing the lottery every day. And, like, that's what I really like about how you run Body is that you run it like a business. You don't run it like, oh, you're pretty. Come and try it out. Go.
Yeah.
You run it like, cool, this is the data we've got. This is what we're working towards. So I think the models have to also have a really clear business mind about it, in the same way as like, it's a really hard job to do. And, you know, after every single job I did, I was like filled with dread because I was like, I'm never going to work again. And actually it's done me really, really well now as a business owner because I don't spend any money and I charge a lot up front. And I'm like, nah,
yeah.
Like, if you want to work with me, you can pay me right now because I'm not going to chase you for money.
Yeah.
And so it's been really, really helpful lessons. But that being said, and it can be an amazing, amazing thing to do on the side of other stuff, like being self-employed, but like recognize that it's so important to find an agency that like respects you. And it's really hard to find an agency that respects, even if they're saying that they are. And actually, I would say that the agencies that hold themselves out and be like, we're the nicest people ever. Because like you said, no one's perfect. Like you can do what you can do and you can say, we're always going to treat you with respect and transparency, but we're going to make sure that the jobs we send you on, like we will check them, etc. But be really careful of agencies that are using like the industry Me Too stuff as a like cover for them actually being worse to you. So I think that's a lot of advice. I'd say the most important thing is to reflect on why you actually want to do it. Because for me, like the reason was to make money, and to survive and stuff. And I knew that I was tall enough to do it for some reason. I've been conditioned since childhood to do it. So I think, and remember, like, it's a image of capitalism. Like, it's not you. So if you feel like you don't fit into it, like, that's not a reflection on you. It might be the agency or the jobs or the day. It's not about you. I guess that's the biggest advice, is like, you're not the problem.
Yeah.
And so it's
like
really
you said
hard.
Earlier, yeah. What was that phrase that you said when you joined that agency very briefly?
When they were like, we're getting bad feedback on you, when we're not getting great feedback on you, like, it's like, you're not the problem. But that is the really hard thing about being a model, is like, just try and treat it kind of like a business. Like, cool, I'll just try this out and see if it's something that's going to bring me money, and make sure that you have like therapy. A really good support system around you is key, because I think there was a question in that list that was all, which said, what do you think makes a good model? Like, beauty.
Okay, yeah.
And honestly, I think it's vulnerability and like a willingness to do anything. And that is what makes me really furious about the industry as a whole, because it doesn't actually matter how beautiful you are. But like me as an 18-year-old, I was all alone in London. And I was like, yeah. And I was autistic and ADHD undiagnosed. I was like, oh, okay, this random stranger just told me to do this thing. Sure. And when we see all these big supermodels, it's not because they are particularly beautiful in some way. It's because they were probably willing to be exploited, and they probably did things they didn't want to do and were made to feel in ways they didn't they weren't comfortable with, but, or they knew people as well in the industry that got them there. It's not about like how pretty you are, and beauty is way more about like your ability to feel comfortable in yourself. Like, I feel so much more like beautiful now as a 32-year-old than I did as an 18-year-old when I was like, and definitely as a 13-year-old when I was in Vogue. So yeah, it's like beauty is, it sounds very cheesy, but it's like you being you, not you being a blank piece of paper for other people to project what they want onto you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for today.
You're
seriously
welcome.
It's just, it's so special for me, but also it's so insightful for people listening to hear the bad side, and also, you know, potentially what we do, a body which is so different, and why I'm so passionate to make a change and just make people more aware about how it should be, rather than accept things that are not, you know, things we should accept. So thank you
for having it, because like what I said there about the ones that are like holding up this like image,
yeah,
I mean, it's like this like whitewashing that we see across all companies now, but ones like you that are having conversations like this where it's like, this is the reality of the industry, because I'm sure that hearing this is not comfortable for many people that might want to get into the industry. They're like, no, I wanted the step-by-step guide of how to be pretty. But like, that's what I think is the measure of like an agency that are going to be really good and decent, because they're not pretending anything about it. They're just doing what they can. So yeah, thank you so much for having this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, make sure you subscribe to never miss an upload. This is a community, so make sure you write in the comments any questions you want me to ask future guests, any topics you think I should be speaking about. DM us or leave a comment and make sure you subscribe. See you in the next episode.